All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us those who trespassed against us. Help us forgive those who've trespassed against us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd forgive our trespasses against thee, O Lord. Again, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, that your kingdom and your power and glory would remain forever. Again, we just thank you again. Fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Again, want to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That little song, Somebody Did a Golden Deed. Was that somebody you? It is so... This world is so... I mean, there's just so many things going on in this world that are dark and dreary and discouraging and bad. And although we may not be able to change the course of history by what we're doing or by what we can make somebody else's day a little better. It's so simple. Just somebody can bring cheer to someone that's discouraged. Just one little thing. We tend to look at our lives and we see a lot of times big things. We see people doing great things. But we overlook the little things. I just reminded the song that if just a cup of water I put within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. And sometimes we just get so caught up with our own lives and our own thing and accomplishing something for ourselves that we overlook those little things. Just, can it be said of you at the end of the day, did I brighten someone else's day? Did I bring a little light to someone in this dark world? Have I helped anyone? Have I done a golden deed today? Not because that's just what we set out to do, but just because that's our goal, to live above ourselves and just be an example, be a light to this dark world. Like I said, there's just darkness everywhere. We just get so caught up in things being bad that we forget just to do the little things right in front of us. I want to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are at Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to kind of comment a little bit as I go here, but Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth with all the saints. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God's desire and His will is that grace and peace be upon all of us. The Bible says of Jesus that He was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth without measure. And a lot of times we think of the grace that God would have on us. But are we that grace? God's will is that grace and peace be upon every one of us. Grace and peace be upon us. Just to be able to live out that grace and peace. That we could be that example to someone else. It's easy when everything's going fine to appear graceful and to appear peaceful. But what about when everything falls down? That's whenever we're really put to the test. Can we still be a blessing to someone else when everything has fallen down around us? Just pointed out a song recently. It's something about calamities, and the person just says, it's just castles burning. It's all right. It's just castles burning. I mean, you think of a castle and how hard and how long and how many years and how hard it would be to build a castle. And just to look at it as, oh, it's just castles burning. It's just castles being destroyed. And just shaking it off and going out and smiling to somebody. Grace and peace. That's what God wants for us. And Paul says, may God's grace and peace be upon you. He didn't say go out and accomplish great things today. He just said, may God's grace and peace be upon you. You know, if the church would just have that, what kind of light would the church be to the world? His grace and peace be upon you. Jesus said, whenever he was talking to Peter, Peter asked him who he was, and Jesus said, you're right, and upon this rock I will build my church. Just a simple little thing that he discovered. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I've always heard all my life, you know, heard about the gates of hell. You know, we just stand like a rock and the gates of hell won't be able to take us over. Well, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the gates of hell won't be able to stand against the church. And if we have that grace and peace and just proceed one step at a time, just doing what's right in front of us and being full of that grace and peace, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It won't be able to stand. It's not a great thing that we have to do. It's just to be able to live this life full of grace and peace. Isn't that so simple? One of the verses one of the boys gave this morning about, it's confusing to the wise. The wise can't understand the simplicity of it. And to the simple, it's just way too big. All you and I have to do is to live out this life in the will of God, which is being full of grace and peace. You know, we try to live up to somebody else's expectations sometimes. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never do it. If you are trying to live your life living up to somebody else's expectations, you'll be nothing but miserable. Falling short. I remember one time I was working just doing everything I knew how to do. I was working at the tire shop and I was fixing truck tires and I was fixing the flat tire and changing something else and somebody else answering the phone. Just busy as I could be. And one of the bosses came in and he needed me to go do something else. And he said, hurry every chance you get. And he was serious. And I had all kinds of things to do and I just thought, boy, I could get discouraged here pretty easy. But I realized that all I had to do was do what was right in front of me. I just had to do the best that I could, and that's all that God required. And the best way that I could handle that is to do it with grace and peace. I could have got all flustered and got mad at Him for demanding this of me, but I didn't. By God's grace, I was just able to keep on doing. And you know, at the end of the day, it all got done. Everything that needed done that day got done. And I could have done it flustered, or I could have done it with grace and peace. Such a blessing that that's all that God requires of us, is to do whatever our hand finds to do and do it with grace and peace. It's so easy to get discouraged with what's going on all around us. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail. We want to get all stirred up. And all my life I've wanted someone to just get all stirred up, just stand for something, fight against something. But you know, that's not even what we're called to do. Being against something is not what God has called us to be. He has not called us to be against something. He's called us to be for something. He's called us to be for His kingdom. And just by simply living that kingdom life out, you know what? You'll find yourself against more things than you can shake a stick at. Just by standing. But when you can stand with grace and peace, it's such a blessing. In Corinthians, there in one place it says, all the blessings of God are yea and amen. That's, here it is. Well, it's, we're getting to that. Let's just go on. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Our reaction to false Christianity, those who would just... I went to two funerals this week, and both of them turned out to be invitations just to accept Jesus into your heart. Just to believe that He died on the cross and believe that He shed His blood, and because by doing that you're saved and you're going to heaven. And people believe that. They bolster that. They just hang on to that. And we see what Jesus said. And we believe that truly believing in Jesus is believing what He said. Not just the promises He's given us that we're going to heaven when we die. Not just the promises of being forgiven our sins. Those are great blessings and those are good. And we don't want to neglect those things. I just am so thankful of what I've been forgiven from. It's just like they've been blotted away. They're not even there anymore. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Being saved and being delivered from something doesn't make you a disciple. Doesn't make you a faithful follower of Jesus. That's just the gift of the goodness of God that He offers to all men. To be saved. But to be delivered. But what are we going to do with that? Are we going to turn it into some strict dead religion? Or are we going to live this life now with grace and peace, full of mercy and kindness? Being faithful to Him. That's what He's called us to do. Our hope is not that He saved us. Our hope in who He is and our association with Him. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you read the Psalms, those people's hope wasn't in their own strength. It wasn't in their horses. It wasn't in their own holiness. Their hope was in God, their deliverer. And because their hope was in that, they were able to overcome this world. They were able to overcome their enemies because they trusted in Him. And they were able to rest in Him no matter what happened. No matter what circumstances come in their life. Their hope was in their God. That's where our faith has to be. In God. Not in ourselves. But when our hope is in Him and we begin to reflect what He has for us and we begin to see what pleases Him and we begin to do it and put it into practice, our hope is manifest to the rest of the world. They can see that. It's not about how staunchly we can be against about all the things that are going on in this world. It's about how much we can be for our God and our Christ. You know, whenever we think of the life of Jesus, He was good to everybody. Sometimes we throw that out because we see how it's abused. There is no question that God loves us. That is who He is. He loves us. Do we love Him? Do we love Him? Is it our goal just to bring glory to Him? To be thankful to Him? To praise Him in all things? That's how we overcome this world. It's not by being against it or fighting against it. It's by praising God and bringing glory to Him and doing what He wants us to do, no matter what they do. So many people, their religion revolves about being against something. That's how you get people stirred up. Get against something and you can get people stirred up. Get for something and you can be light to somebody. Get for something and you can be light. Anybody can get stirred up about darkness. But let's get for something. I remember being delivered. And I wanted someone else to know about that. That God is good. It's so difficult getting all tangled up in all the different religion and all the things, and we get tossed to and fro. But the heart of the matter is, our faith is about God, not about what's going on in this world. Our hope is in the Lord, not about who's saying this about us or what's going on. Our faith is in Him. Praise Him. I don't know, I just reading in the Psalms and just how all the things that were going on, but our hope is in our God. That is the only thing that we have. Everything may be falling down around us, but our hope is still in our God. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God brings and allows these things to come into our life so that we can turn around and offer it again. One psalm there I read just a while ago, we'll come back here to this, but I just wanted to chapter 18. verse 24, just start there. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou shalt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. He comforts us in all our tribulations that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. To the merciful, He shows mercy. To the pure in heart, those are blessings that we can find comfort in. We get discouraged. But God sees. God knows. You know, whenever we almost run from this in anyway, there's people that say, well, God knows my heart while they're living in sin. And He said, well, He knows my heart. And while they're choosing to live in rebellion. But the truth of the matter is God does know our heart. And whenever we're given our all to please Him, and we're given our all just to bring glory to Him, to do whatever He asks us to do, everybody may rise up against. But we can still be faithful. And we can still just do what we need to do. It's just like when you've done all that you can do, all the Lord requires is faithfulness. All that He requires is faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not about our performance. It's about our loyalty, our faithfulness to Him. Verses 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. There's suffering that goes with it. There's trouble. But go through it with grace and peace. There's misunderstandings. But go through it with grace and peace. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. He's called us to suffer. Bible says, why do you think it a strange thing that you're suffering? Don't you know that judgment must begin at the house of God? Before we can offer anything to anyone, we have to know what they're going through. We have to taste some of those sufferings before we can offer a consolation. That's why it's so hard sometimes being religious, being brought up religious, to know what it means to actually suffer. I mean, living righteously in this country will make you probably wealthy, probably take away all the griefs that we see the world suffering and going through. Put you in the middle of a people who are happy all the time. put you in a family where you know it's going to stay together. And we somehow think that that's just what it's all about. And the whole world's in darkness, suffering. And we don't know anything about it because we've never been through anything. And then a little bit of trouble comes and we think the whole world's caved in on us. God gives suffering to us so that we can in turn offer that to someone else. Offer the comfort that there is. Offer the grace that there is and the peace that there is. He lets us go through things, not just so we can be punished and be hurt, but so that we can overcome it and then turn around and give it to somebody else. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, it can either make you bitter or it can make you better. You can take that and put it on as a religious stripe and make you think you're really something. Or you can take it and turn around and give it to somebody else who needs it going through the same thing. That's what it talks, that's why to the merciful, He's merciful. Someone who's learned those things by going through struggles. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing this, that you are partakers of the sufferings, so that you shall also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Look pretty hopeless, doesn't it? Pressed out of measure. Above strength, more than I could handle. So that there wasn't even nothing to look for or to but death to get out of this. Why'd he go through it? So he could turn around, so that he could know how to be full of grace and peace to somebody else. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. It's to take any hope out of ourselves, so that our hope and our trust is in the Lord. That's what he's trying to do. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. How quick it is that we trust in ourselves. Whenever we do right and we start feeling the blessings that come with doing right, the first thing we begin to think of is, boy, I'm glad I made those choices because that's brought right by my life. And you know where our confidence goes then, instead of in the Lord? It's in ourselves. And we begin to look at ourselves and we begin to think of ourselves as something. I've really accomplished something. I'm not like those people over there. Well, look at the bad choices they made. Look why they're suffering. but we trust in ourselves. And so then we see someone over there that's having some problems, and we look at them and we think, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. Look at them. That's where trusting in yourself leads. Trusting in yourself leads to beginning to look at others and examining everybody else and seeing everybody else's problems. But when you're trusting in the Lord, you see yourself. He brings things into your life that bring you down to where you despair of even life. That's His mercy. That's His goodness. So that we don't get ourselves trusting in ourselves, but we keep our trust in Him. It's all right. Just don't worry about that goat. It'll be all right. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Forget the goat. When we trust in the Lord, and we almost get to where we despise that because of how it's abused. But God is still good, and God still wants us to trust in Him. But trusting in Him is believing Him. Trusting in Him is hearing Him. Trusting in Him is being like He is. Full of mercy, full of kindness. Yeah, we got the big five laws that He taught in His kingdom. But He wants us to be like Him. He isn't teaching us a rule book. He wants us to hear the spirit of the law. And be above those things. So that we could trust in Him. That's where there's peace. That's where there's rest. There's so little peace and grace. We got religion, but where is peace and grace? That we can just overlook others. And be full of that peace and grace. Be full of that mercy. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Here, thankfulness. Thankfulness for what someone else has done so that you can have what you've got. Thankfulness. He didn't even only thank God. He was thankful to others who had helped him along the way. By these gift that was bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. This gift that we received because someone else helped it and brought it along. We ought to be thankful. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, But the grace of God, which we had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Ward. You know, we think of fleshly wisdom. First thought we think of is some atheist or some scientist somewhere trying to figure out there ain't no God. Trying to prove to you that God don't exist. We call that fleshly wisdom, but that is not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a fleshly wisdom that has Christianity figured all out. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Ward. That grace. We had our conversation in the world, our life in the world, and now it's towards you, that grace, that peace. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come to you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and to you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purposed to do? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that ye might, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and to the glory of God by us. God is trying to show us who he is. People say, what you're doing is negative. But all the promises of God are yea and amen. And just by standing on yea and amen, to the world it looks like death. But his grace and peace, whenever they're on us, it doesn't matter what the world says or the world does. We can still have everything, yea and amen, and overcome those things. Overcome the world. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet into Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. By faith you stand. He didn't come to have dominion, but to be a partaker, to have fellowship with the grace of God. The simplicity. The simplicity. You know, we've heard about the faith. That if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you can do all things. If you just have faith like that of a grain of mustard seed. Then he tells, let's see here, let's just turn there. Mark 4, 31. Oh, let me see. Mark 4. Thirty. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The faith of a grain of mustard seed. What is the faith of a mustard seed? What is the faith of a mustard seed? If you plant a mustard seed in the ground, what is it going to produce? A rose bush? An apple tree? The faith of a grain of mustard seed, when it's planted in the ground, will grow up and be a mustard seed. That's what that faith is. It's faith just to be what it's supposed to be. And when it's planted, it grows. And whenever we plant ourselves in the Lord and we just be what He wants us to be, full of grace, full of mercy, to be like Him, our faith, we become like He wants us to be. It doesn't become anything other than what was planted. And when you lose your life and His life is planted in you, that faith of living the way He wants you to be, you grow up just what was planted. The faith of a grain of mustard seed, it grows up to be what it's supposed to be. It grows up a mustard seed. It's simple. It's no great thing that a mustard seed turns into a mustard plant. And it's no great thing that a man just having faith, true faith, real faith, trusting in God, trusting and being what He wants you to be, will grow up into being what He wants you to be. That's His will. This is the will, that you believe on the Son. Not that you believe you're saved. Not that you believe your sins are forgiven. That you trust Him. That you believe in Him. That you become like Him. Full of grace and peace. Not that every circumstance is wonderful. Not that there's not suffering. Not that there's not tears. But there's grace in it all. It's just castles burning. But God will endure forever. And that faith that will lead us through is in Him. It's not in what we see or feel or hear or touch. Our faith is in Him. There's where we have our peace and our rest and our grace. It's so simple, we just miss it over and over again. So easy to get our faith trusting in something else. Our faith diverted to what's around us. How well things are going. Our prosperity. Our little wall we build. Our religion. All of those things will burn. And God in His mercy takes them away from us. So that when everything's in ashes, we still have our faith in all that matters. How's the song? And Satan tempt me sore. How's that song go? Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore. How's it go? Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. What more do we need? What more do we need? All of this will be gone. It's not man's opinion. God sees through all of that. But He knows who you are. He knows who you are. Things are so unstable. The older I get, the less sure I am of myself. The less sure I am of what I see. I know. Things that just appear so right can turn out to be so wrong. But my trust isn't in those things. Things that appear so wrong sometimes turn out to be so right. That's why He's called us not to make judgment decisions on things like this. Because we spend our time doing that instead of just being full of grace and peace, being merciful. All these things, He knows them all. He knows the deepest thoughts of your heart. He knows the decisions you make and why you make them. And He'll be right. He'll be right. There's a lot of people that have been burned throughout history, who've been killed throughout history, that all the world thought they were wrong. But He knew who was right. Even Christ Himself, they crucified Him. But God was pleased that He was faithful. Let's stand fast with peace and grace, trusting in our Lord, trusting in our God, and reflect that to be good, that we bring light to the world. Somebody did a golden deed. Was that somebody you? May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Fill us with Your Spirit again. Help us just reflect that grace and peace and mercy. Lord, so easy to get caught up, Father, in things around us, things we see, things we hear. Help us reflect that mercy, God. Help us reflect You and be a light to this world. Again, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.